Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here tonight with the Irishman himself. Well, they're both Irish, aren't they?
I think we are, aren't we, Chris?
No, you and Chris O'Shea.
Oh, that's right. It's only Italian and Irish mix is all you get on the show.
I'm
going
to have
anymore.
To get Graham to come on the show with me more often, you know, because Graham has half Italian in him, you know, so that would
there
be cool.
There you go. You have some connection.
Anyway, we're here with Michael P. McCarthy, and we're on an open show tonight. An open show means that you get to be the guest. You get to determine the direction of the conversation. You get to say, hey, could you answer this question for me, because if you can, this would really make a difference to me. And anything, college planning, estate planning, income taxes, investments, insurances, you name it. If you got a question on it, give us a call, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, we're here to answer it.
So, Drew, a lot of times our clients end up guiding the conversation when we have an open show and we're waiting for a call. Clients calling in with specific concerns, specific fears, what they're worried about right now. What have you been getting the most calls on right now?
They're all worried that, you know, somebody's going to get elected, be it Trump for the liberal group of our clients, or Biden for the conservative group of our clients, and they're ready to jump off a ledge one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. And nothing could be further from the truth. Politicians don't tend to move markets one way. Now, they can affect an industry big time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in other words, Obama didn't like coal. And
no.
In 4-8 years he was in office, he bankrupted or caused 90% of coal companies to file for bankruptcy. So presidents can do that kind of stuff to an individual
small sector.
Trump didn't like China. He beat up on China for the first 3 years of his presidency, and the Chinese stock market did horribly. Now, the Chinese stock market has been recovering greatly, because it's learned how to deal with the Trump administration and their tariffs and so forth.
We could do a whole show on tariffs.
Absolutely.
It'd talk about Santa suits.
It would be absolutely. You know, you could do a lot on that. So anyway, we have Rob in Owings Mills, so we're going to go talk to him. But we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in like Rob is to ask a question, Rob in Owings Mills, how can we help you?
Howdy do. I'm going to be 70 years old later in the year, so I'll start taking Social Security then.
Okay.
My wife is 1 year younger.
Right.
This year, it looking like we're going to have a taxable income of about $70,000.
Okay.
That amount will double next year because of the Social Security, plus I have a indexed annuity that's roll-up period is finishing, so I'll take that. So that'll, as a lifetime payout, so that'll about double it to about 140.
Okay.
So the question, last thing and then the question, I got it. We each got about, together we got about 750 in IRAs and about 750 in non-qualified.
Okay.
So the question is, I've heard you talk about having a process for Roth conversions.
Right.
Sounds like we're in that area where we ought to be interested in paying attention to you.
Well, so what you're referring
to there?
Very little
in Roth right now. Very little in Roth. It's almost all, you know, in other qualified money.
Right. So what you want to do is what you're going to be thinking about. You've got 2 years until you begin your required minimum distributions at age 72. All right. So actually, you only have this year and next year, because in 2022, you turned 72, right, at the end of the year.
That's right. Yep.
So in 2022, you begin your first year of required minimum distributions. Now, you can postpone that until April of 2023, but your income, because you won't be doing required minimum distributions, will be as low as possible if you want to. In other words, you can control it. Okay. And so what you're going to be thinking about is understanding how the tax rates are applied. And so this is a very important issue that a lot of people don't understand. They keep hearing that if I go up to 10,000 more income, I go into the 24% tax bracket. And people panic. They think, oh my gosh, I'm going to go into the 24% tax bracket. But you have to understand the tax brackets work sequentially. So in other words, if I make my first 10,000, it's always going to be taxed at 10%. My next 30 or 40,000 is going to be taxed at 12%. My next 80 or so thousand is going to be taxed at 22%. And the next 100,000 or so is going to be taxed at 24%. Okay? So it's sequential. It goes up. As you go into that bracket, the next dollar is taxed at that higher rate. So a Roth strategy, Rob, is where you're looking at how can I take enough income up so that I don't trigger more than the 22% tax rate, let's say, based on the numbers you were throwing at me. That would be the bracket I would try to fill up if I were in your situation. The better strategy is to move out of Maryland into Florida and then begin Roth conversion. Now, that's another story all in itself, Rob.
Well, and just to make sure Rob's point that he made is clear, so it's, Rob, you are right. It's this year that's the best year for you to start considering some of this, because this is the year that he's going to stay at 70 before next year he gets the Social Security.
Yeah, so this year he will have his lowest income, so he could probably do, I would probably move up the whole entire 22% tax bracket. That could be like a $100,000 Roth conversion that he could do, as long as he's psychologically willing to accept the 22% federal bracket, that's the highest bracket that'll be the lowest bracket he'll see for the rest of his life.
Right. And Rob, there's a couple other things that you'd want to take into account that we don't have time to do on the show, but also looking at your cash flows, making sure that the money we spend on taxes makes sense, and kind of understanding, where's those dollars going to go? Are we going to leave money behind to kids, or are we really worried about long-term care or something else? It's all about timeline. And while I think everything we said is right, there's always a little couple extra specifics you may want to work out with a financial advisor.
Do you have children, Rob?
I do have a couple, three of them actually. One of them has a special needs kid also that I'd like to, he's only like 3 years old now, but there's no assurance that he'll be normal, quote, to work in society later. So
right.
There's definitely a concern there. I do have a long-term care plan for myself and my wife, and actually we do have some life insurance as well for us. So there are questions.
Right.
You guys posed properly so that, where do I want the money eventually to go?
Yeah. Well, I'd consider doing a financial physical, because that's the kind of thing that really, you can do some really good things with what you're talking about and all the different issues you got going on. All right, Rob?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Guys.
Thank you. It's a good question. He's got some really cool things he can do right now.
Yeah. I was getting excited. Those are always the clients you want to work with, because they've got you can make them, do things to help them.
Anyway, we got to take our first pause with traffic. But if you want to get online before we come back, 410-922-6680. This is an open show. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Theme song from Jungle Story. Right. All right, we got to go. We're on an open show tonight. I used to like that movie, you know? Jungle Story. That was really good. Anyway, we're on open show tonight, 410-922-6680. We have Mark on the line. We're going to go to him in a second. But if you want to call in and ask a question that is something pertaining to an issue important to you, like Rob was asking earlier about Roth conversions, maybe you have a different topic. Maybe it's estate planning. Maybe it's income taxes. Maybe it's investments, like Mark wants to talk about certain investment category. Or maybe it's education planning. Maybe it's insurance policies. Maybe you got an insurance agent telling you you ought to do something, and you're wondering, is this really a great idea, and so forth. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, and I'm going to Mark in Reisterstown. Mark, how can we help you?
Oh, thank you very much. Real quickly, by the way, I did a little assessment myself, and I got about $7.50 in pennies.
There you go. All right.
But, no, actually, you know, with the market conditions and everything right now, and, you know, I've read different papers on some so-called war on cash, and I've always been into physical gold and silver, and in the past I've always been, you know, told exactly what percentage I should be investing in that as part of my overall portfolio. But being how it is right now, and how it seems as if we're just printing money right now that's not really backed by anything, I've heard that maybe it might be time to increase my percentage of investment in physical gold and silver. What are your thoughts on that?
We've been doing that since Richard Nixon. You know, so we went to a total fiat monetary system since Richard Nixon in 1974, was it? I think one of those years in that general time frame. So, and we haven't had any significant inflation. We did in those first few years, but it wasn't because they went to a fiat monetary system. It was because of the stupid Federal Reserve chairman that was running the place, what was his name? Burns, I think, in the 1970s. And then along comes Paul Volcker, appointed by Jimmy Carter. And Paul Volcker said, you know, enough of this craziness. Let's get our monetary system back in right order. And he did. And he broke the back of inflation and began the long period of deflation that we've been experiencing over the last 30-some years. So, you know, I agree with you that sooner or later, the excessive borrowing of the developed world countries will come back to bite them, and that the people who are the economists who are saying that a government like ours or Japan or Europe, et cetera, can borrow unlimited amounts of money forever, known as modern monetary theory, I think that it might work for a year, for 10 years, for 20 years, for 40 years. I don't know. But sooner or later, it's going to be a disaster. I just don't know how long it's going to be. I don't expect it to be any time in the next 5 years or so, though.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that very much.
All right, Mark. You take care. You know, there's a lot of good reasons why, you know, the excessive, quote-unquote, excessive borrowing of the federal government is not going to be an issue anytime soon.
Well, and if we didn't have it, we'd all be very unhappy right now.
Yes, see, you're absolutely correct. You know, that if we wanted to go back to the Great Depression of the 1930s, then we would be very unhappy. Because that's what happened during the 1930s. You know, Smoot-Hawley, which was the deglobalization of the United States, where we put tariffs on every country, had a big impact on what happened in the Great Depression. But the biggest thing that happened is the banks collapsed and the money supply of the country collapsed by over 30% over the next 3 years.
And they didn't have any tools to deal with it.
And money supply should be growing always. Think of it like a air in a balloon. As long as air keeps going in the balloon keeps getting bigger and bigger. If all of a sudden you stop blowing air into the balloon, the balloon stops. But if you start to let that air out, the balloon contracts. And that's what happened to our economy during the 1930s, is that they contracted the money supply over 3 years by over 30%, and you saw the effects that it had. So that's why when you have these issues like 2008 and 2020, the Federal Reserve steps in and expands the money supply in an artificial way, because you have to, because air's coming out of the balloon too fast.
Right. We just have to get better about easing ourselves off of it when we don't need it.
Yeah, absolutely. They have to figure that out, and that is
a major
issue. So
they get used to spending.
Right.
So they get used to printing. It's so much fun to spend. I even like to spend.
Yeah, I understand. But, you know, one of the interesting facts of the U.S. Government that most people don't talk about is that Japan's – the balance sheet of the Japanese government, the is 100% of their GDP. The balance sheet of the European government is 50% or more of their GDP. The balance sheet of the United States Federal Reserve of our GDP is only about 25 to 30%. And you know, you would say, well, isn't it better to have a bigger balance sheet than, you know? No, because Federal Reserves make money out of thin air. So if they've already created 100% of their GDP in cash in Japan,
right,
you know, I don't know how far they can really go beyond their GDP, you know, whereas we've only created 30% of our overall GDP in make-believe money in the Federal Reserve, I guess is the best way to put it.
It's we believe money.
We believe money. Let's go to Gene in Columbia. Gene, how can we help you?
Hi. Talk to me a little bit about the amount of FDIC insurance you have on a given account and how it changes if the for instance, I go in and I plop down $250,000 for a CD.
Right.
My name only, $250,000 coverage.
Okay.
What if I add my wife to the title?
$500,000.
And for each beneficiary listed?
So if you have one beneficiary, it's still just $500,000. But if you put two beneficiaries down, then it's $500,000. It's $250,000 for the two beneficiaries per account holder. So it's $500,000 for those two beneficiaries for you. It's $500,000 for those two beneficiaries for your wife. It'd be $1 million.
And that's per bank.
That's per bank.
Per bank. Not, what if you have multiple accounts at the same bank?
Well, if you have the same titling on those accounts, if you have just a Gene account with two beneficiaries, then it would be $500,000. If you have just a wife's account with two beneficiaries, it would be $500,000. If you have a joint account, it would be $1 million. And if you have a second joint account with the same two beneficiaries, then it would be still just the $1 million that you got on the first account.
You only get to keep each combination one time.
Yeah,
there's a great FDIC calculator out there. If you do a web search, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or FDIC Bank Insurance Calculator, there's a great one, and you just fill in the blanks and say, this is the account that I have. What's my insurance on this account?
It's called
very
Eddie.
Good. What's it called?
It's called Eddie, E-D-I-E, Eddie, Electronic Deposit Insurance Estimator, and you can get to it at eddie.fdic.gov.
There you go. Mikey's full of good information. Mikey has an iPad. Eddie, E-D-I-E. All right?
Do mutual funds have any insurance to cover any of their money markets, let's say?
No. But what you do with a money market is you just buy a U.S. government treasury money market, and now you're unlimitedly guaranteed, because treasury bills are safer than FDIC insurance, of course, right? Because a treasury bill is unconditional guarantee of the federal government, and FDIC insured is only guaranteed up to the FDIC amount of money they have to make good on their insurance. And then you've got to go to the government and ask them to make good on anything extra if FDIC runs amok.
What if you go to a brokerage firm and you purchase stock through the brokerage firm that's held in street name? and then for some reason the brokerage firm goes bust.
All right, let me. You're going to have to hold on, and I'll answer that question when we come back. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to put you on. Oh, look at that. The man in the booth put him on hold. I didn't even get a chance to touch it. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question on this open show, that was, what's-his-face? You know that guy. With glasses and stuff, right? You know?
Crocodile Rock.
Elton John or something like that, you know? What's his name? He's got the glasses and all the kind of goofy...
Sir Elton John.
Sir Elton John. There you go. Anyway, we're on open show. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. And I'm going back to Gene in Columbia. Gene, how can we help you again?
It's SIP. What about how are his brokerage assets insured?
Brokerage account.
Right. Okay. So in 2008, Lehman Brothers went under. Big brokerage firm. Okay.
Right.
And unless you own Lehman Brothers stock of the company itself, or unless you owned a Lehman Brothers debt, everybody got all their stocks and their mutual funds and their bonds back in an account within weeks from the day Lehman Brothers went under. And why is that? Okay. And there's a couple reasons for it. The predominant reason is the central depository. Okay. So all these brokerage firms, you know, you buy AT&T and you're with Lehman Brothers. Okay. And you own 1,000 shares of AT&T stock. Well, that AT&T stock is supposedly with Lehman Brothers in street name, but it's really not. It's really being held in the central depository. And so the central depository says to Lehman Brothers, okay, you own 1,000 shares of stock. And then what the central depository does is when the guy who owns that 1,000 shares at Lehman Brothers sells it, and now the 1,000 shares ends up over at Merrill Lynch, the central depository merely says to Lehman Brothers, okay, you don't own 1,000 shares of AT&T anymore. Now Merrill Lynch does. And so they all basically just sits there. And so what happens is a client comes in and says, hey, Lehman Brothers gone under. I need my money and all my securities back. And they say, okay, here you go. Central depository says, you know, where's he going? And they say, oh, he's going over to Schwab. So, boom, his assets, they say, okay, his assets are now at Schwab, and we're moving these assets out of the Lehman Brothers accounts over to Schwab. And so, you know, that's number one. Number two, the only way that they wouldn't have those assets at the central depository is if they over-hypothecated or did something fraudulent that would lose the proper accounting of what securities all their clients had. Now, hypothecation is where somebody wants to short AT&T and Lehman Brothers lends their 1,000 shares of stock to somebody else and loses the proper accounting of that shorting the stock. See, that's what happens. A lot of people don't know this, that if you own long 1,000 shares AT&T stock, your brokerage firm can pick up your 1,000 shares AT&T stock and still say, Drew still owns 1,000 shares AT&T, but John over here wants to short AT&T, so we're going to pick Drew's shares up, and we're going to lend them over here to John, and we're going to still treat Drew as if he owns them, but now John actually has taken those shares and sold them. And so he's going to have to replace them sometime in the next whatever. And when he does, we'll just say, Drew, okay, here's your shares are back. But he doesn't even ever know that we hypothecated it. So
it's all book entries. Your money's safe as long as you're not defrauded.
As long as you're not defrauded. Even if you are, the SIPC comes in and replaces the money.
Well, unless it's like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, we ought to get somebody on from the SIPC to explain all this to everyone because it's probably something a lot of people would want to hear. All right, Gene, I wish I could go into more, but it's nothing that anybody should ever worry about nowadays, the way brokerage firms operate. your money is completely safe. Good question, Gene. I got to run. Thank you. I'm going to Washington in Pasadena. How can we help you, Washington?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
You're talking to both of us?
Yes. Washington's very respectful.
What's up, my friend?
Yes. I have a question regarding credit cards. When a credit card company decides that it's going to cut your credit limit in half, do I need to worry about that? Do I need to do something to change that? And how do I prevent that from happening in the future?
So the only really reason to worry about that is if you your available credit dips so far low that and you're worried about your credit score. And really, at this point, you're really only worried about you're playing the game like I do, where I try to make sure my credit score is always over 800 because it makes me feel good. Because I know,
but you don't want it to be any lower than 750.
But I don't want it to be any lower than 750. So it may make a small difference in the overall calculation of your credit score, but generally only towards kind of the higher end of scores. The other thing is just, do you need that? What generally happens?
Why would they cut it?
If you don't use a certain percentage of your credit over time, they will cut it back.
Yeah.
And just like if you start using a lot but you keep paying, they will start just dumping on more credit on you.
Right.
But you can generally, if you wanted to, you can almost always call them. And if you've been a good client, they'll re-extend it back up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to definitely don't close the account, though. That's probably the strangest
thing.
Age of credit is probably – that was – my credit score was down in the 780 range. It was because about 10 years ago, I canceled two or three old credit cards that wanted to charge me fees. And they held that against me. It was ridiculous that they use that.
Yeah. The age of your credit, average age of your credit, the percentage of use, the number of lines – and then it's also the payment on times and are there any derogatory marks, and then hard credit pulls. There's a hard credit pull and a soft credit pull.
Right.
Soft ones don't count against you. Hard ones do, because it means you're out there applying for new lines of credit.
And also, here's something for all of our listeners on credit cards. If you have a credit card that's charging you a fee, even if it's an old credit card that you still use and you like it and it's got a fee – 90-some percent of the time, you can call them up and say, hey, you're charging me $25 for this old card that I've had with you. I'm not going to pay it. And they'll normally just say, oh, yes, Mr. Tignanelli, we'll take that off immediately.
Not so, American Express.
No, not American Express, because they try to give you other benefits. But, you know, if you have an old card and you're paying $25-$50 for it, and normally if you call them up and say, what's this fee? I really don't need this card anymore. They'll just say, we'll just take care of the fee.
Yep.
So
now, when you're talking about age of credit, is it age of that particular credit or just –
that account.
What is the oldest credit card you have or credit thing you have outstanding?
Well, all the open lines, I'll take all your open lines of credit, add up the total number of years they've all been open, divide it by the number of them there are, and that's your average age of credit. And if it goes below 5 years, they don't like it.
Yeah.
5 years is the magical number.
Right. Even though you might have had credit going back to the 1970s, they'll still assume that you only had 5 years of average credit. It's kind of crazy, but that's the way it works, Washington. Got to run. Good question. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. No one's on the line for this last quarter hour, so if you want to get on, 410-922-6680, take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now, Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We get it almost every night. And when that moon gets big.
You're insulting my music intelligence again, Chris. So, I'm not even going to give you the benefit of a guess. Anyway, we're here on an open show, and there's nobody online right now. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, we have 10 minutes that we can answer a few more questions before the end of this show. Tomorrow is Associate Alex Price's birthday.
Happy birthday, Alex.
And he's whopping 26, you know? I sort of remember 26 in my lifetime. It was, 40? No, not that long ago, was it? It was only 57 years ago. No, 47 years ago. No.
No.
37 years ago.
Getting closer.
I'm a math major, Mike, you know? And so 37 years ago. There you go.
Yep.
That's not too long ago. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. You know, I did tell somebody not too long ago that I was going to do a shout-out for their birthday today, and I'm sitting here for the life of me. I can't remember who the heck I said that
well,
to.
Well, listen, if you're listening, you should call in so he can get it done. And if you're
August
not
26th, he told me, and which is today, right?
Yeah, today is August 26th.
He said his actual birthday was today. I said, I'll give you a shout-out on the radio for that. And I can't remember any. He's probably sitting there thinking, oh, well, wow, I'm very important that you forgot me.
They
can
call in and we'll get it done. And if they're not listening, they won't know.
That's a good point, Mike. I should have thought about that. So anyway, now the lines are lit up. You got three callers on. So hopefully we'll get to all three of them before we finish the show. But we've got to find out what the topics are. So and I ought to put my glasses on so I can read what the topics are. Legal. We're going to go to Rebecca first in Littlestown. Rebecca, how can we help you?
Yeah, so I got a bill from my lawyer, and it was very confusing, and it had, stuff in, decimal points, and some of it was, paid before I did it and whatever. So I'm asking you, how do I find out my lawyer's bill is really, really I need to pay him?
So what he's probably doing is he's giving you 0.6, 0.2, 0.8,
yes,
things like that, and those are percents of hours, and his billing rate might be $300 an hour. So if it's 0.4, then it would be $120, right?
Right.
So,
well, if it doesn't add up at the end of the column where there's a drawn line to, am I supposed to alert him to this?
Well, you can always just ask him to explain it to you. There also may be more than one billing rate if he is a paralegal.
That's true. And so, yeah, always ask him, and always ask him this, you know, just kind of complain subtly. You know, hey, you know, it's a lot more money than I thought it was. And normally lawyers will say, okay, take 10% off the bill.
There go. So all your lawyer friends are going to email, starting to send you an email right now.
But let me ask you something before you cut me off. Is he going to charge me for, asking him?
No, he shouldn't. No, he shouldn't. Because your bill is your bill right now. So they can't charge you because you called him up and asked for clarification.
But every time
of the bill.
You emailed him a question about whatever you were dealing with.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
I understand that. But I didn't want to be charged for having a conflict.
No.
Why this bill is
wrong. No. I've never seen a lawyer do that. All right, Rebecca? Good question. Take care. Bob in Lutherville, how can we help you?
Yes, I'm still working. I'll be 70 next month. I called in this week, Social Security, and they're going to start my benefits. And I was born in 50. My wife was born in 52, and she's still working, too. I think we're in that little gap. When does she call to get half of mine benefit?
She should be doing it. The minute you start collecting, she should immediately take half of yours until she turns 70.
Well, I told her to call in because it seems like even if they call in to do it by phone, they won't let you go in.
Well, that's true.
4 to 6 weeks.
She could just do it online, too. We do it online for our clients all the time.
Well, but it won't process unless his is going live.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, so she can do it online, and as long as they know that on the 24th of September, that's when mine's going to start?
Well, as long as you've already filed. You have to
file.
They have to have it in their computer.
He did file. Okay. He said he filed. So
last week,
yeah, so she can go online, but she's probably just best to just call, and she should have been on the line with you. She should have done it together.
Now, I will say that I've had a couple experiences with clients lately where if it's a certain situation, they can't do it online. They have to do it by phone call, and they make you call twice, once to schedule an appointment for a phone call and the next time to actually have the phone call.
Also, remember
they said just wait till you get the full max time at 70, which will be on the 24th next month.
Yes, that's correct. Your wife should immediately start collecting half of yours beginning September, right, just like yours starts, okay? And here's another important thing. When your wife goes to call in, tell her, if she's willing to wake up early, call in exactly when 7 o'clock comes, and you won't have that ridiculous 25-minute, an hour-and-a-half wait for Social Security.
I was open until 9. Okay, 7. I didn't know that.
I think 7's the
telephone,
IRS.
The Social Security Administration opens the national number at 7 a.m. All right?
Okay, I'll tell her that. Thanks. I know you got another card.
All right, you got to run. We're going to Joe in New Freedom. Joe, are you there? Good, yes. And you?
I'm well, thanks. I've got a question. You mentioned the length of credit. I've got an old account, a bank account, that I don't use for anything. And I just got a notice that if I don't start using the account, they'll start feeding the account down.
Yeah, and you should go ahead and close that. So what we were talking about is credit accounts, credit cards, loans, things of that nature. But, yeah, if you got an old bank account, that's certainly not something that you you need to keep around. It's, you know, you got to make sure that everyone's careful to keep their money in places that they'll remember it is. Don't, you know, in case something happens to you, don't leave a trail that everyone's got to follow.
Yeah, it's a small balance, but and it's just a savings account.
Yeah, you definitely want to close that down.
Well, enjoy living up there in beautiful New Freedom. I used to live right there in Freeland, right below you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It's fantastic.
All right, Joe. Good call. Thanks. Good question.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. What was I going to say?
Well, you looked at me like you had something to say, so I should stop talking. So I know that happened. Got that look that says, hey, I want to talk.
No, I just, there was something that Joe said that was triggering a thought in my head about bank accounts and all
credit,
that kind of stuff. And
closing them, small balances, feeing it away.
Oh, why? You said the concept of not losing track of them, and I was saying that's another great topic, unclaimed property.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a really good one.
That's a great way to spend an
unclaimed
afternoon.
Unclaimed property. See, I'm really proud of myself. I remember that.
There you go. We pulled it back
unclaimed
together.
Property, but I still
26
got that.
26 wasn't that long
I
ago,
I still got
it?
that friend that I was supposed to, and I'm giving a shout-out to my buddy who I promised I'd
Happy
give
birthday.
Him a shout-out to.
Happy birthday.
Anyway, you have too much fun on this show. We still have a minute to go. You have something to talk about?
Well, we started talking about the opening of the show, the fact that people are giving they're taking a lot of stress over who's going to win the election as far as their money goes, their investments go. There's plenty of reasons to be worried about who wins the election when it comes to whatever your policies are, and especially taxes.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things is if you look at it statistically, the market only cares about predicting correctly. It doesn't like to be surprised.
Right. That's why when Trump won, the market was surprised. They did not expect that. And so right now, the market is going up because they believe Biden is going to win. Now, it's not why the market's going up, but the market has already discounted a Biden win. If Trump wins, it'll be a surprise to the market, which I think the market will end up not caring one way or the other.
Well, market gets surprised, it gets a little unhappy, but then it just adjusts. The reason why the market can go higher when it thinks a certain president's going to win is because it says, hey, we think we know what's going to happen, so we can adapt to it.
Right. I do want to give a shout out to my friend Captain L.T. Tyler, who's headed to Nashville to do a recording of gospel music that he sings. And so I just thought that was
very
great.
Good.
And
down on Tillman Island.
Pray he has a great
time.
With
my dad.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Showery people you love with love, show them the way you feel. Things are gonna